You're listening to sermon audio from Christchurch Hawthorne in Melbourne. We hope and pray this helps you grow in your knowledge and love of God and enables you to see how great God is.
Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me just say another prayer as we turn to God's word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this prayer that we've just read from Jonah. Father, we pray that you'll help us to understand what you've given us in the Bible, but not only that you'll help us understand, but also that you'll apply it to our lives, to our hearts, to what we do every day, so that we want to go your way, God. Please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the more distressing events in my life was a serious car accident that I was involved in some years ago. Thankfully, I was the only person in the car because the car was totally wrecked. I was driving on a country road, on an unsurfaced country road, and I lost control of the car on a bend. The car rolled several times until eventually coming to rest. It rolled down an embankment. The car was completely smashed to pieces, really. The only bit of the car that wasn't totally wrecked was the particular bit that I was in. So if there'd been anybody else in the car, they certainly would have been injured. How long do you think it lasted from the time I lost control till when the car eventually came to rest? It's a bit hard for me to imagine exactly how long that would be, but something like 10 seconds, I suppose. It's probably not very long, but I was very conscious of things happening. It's still a very vivid memory. Some of the time I was looking, the sky was down there and there was dirt and rocks and flying glass and all sorts of stuff up there. So presumably I was upside down. What was I doing in that 10 seconds, do you think? Well, one of the things that I did was prayed. And I still remember very clearly the prayer that I prayed. Word for word. It's not very hard because it was only 5 words, actually. The prayer that I prayed while this was going on. You see, I really thought that I was going to die. Well, there are probably good reasons for thinking that. So my prayer was this. Well, Lord, here I come. That's all I said. Well, Lord, here I come. As it turned out, God did not take me to heaven at that point. My life didn't end. I was surprised to find, after the car settled down, the right way up, that I had a little cut on my chin, and apart from that, I was uninjured. I was amazed. But the memory of that is also a memory of that prayer. And I had a strong sense that God must still want me to do stuff here on this earth, because he'd passed by that opportunity to take me away. But I was also encouraged that in that moment I had prayed, at least, in my distress, in that critical moment in my life. It wasn't the only time in my life I've had distress, let me say, but in that moment I prayed. This morning, as we continue this short series in the book of Jonah, we're looking at Jonah's prayer in distress. Jonah chapter 2, which Andy read out for us, was Jonah's prayer when he was in a situation of distress. Jonah's is a bit longer than mine, as you can see. And it may well be that we can learn from it. What was Jonah's distress? It wasn't a car accident. We're told in chapter 2, verse 1, if you've got your Bibles there, page 774, is that right? Church Bibles. Chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. Well, I suggested last week it's probably a whale, and I explained why I think that. I think Jonah was probably swallowed by a whale. But inside there, he found that he was alive and still breathing somehow, and it says that he prayed. That was a significant part of his distress. If you were here last week, or if you know the story of the book of Jonah, he had been on a ship, there was a big storm, and he was thrown out of the ship into the ocean, and then presumably was tumbled around in the washing machine of the ocean for a while. And then, as it says at the end of the previous chapter, the Lord appointed a great fish or whale to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was there 3 days and three nights. And verse 5, if you look at it, suggests something about the distress that Jonah was in. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. He was caught up in the bottom of the ocean, or perhaps in the stomach of the whale or wherever, or both, one after the other. And that, we can easily understand, was a big part of his distress. And in that context, he was praying. But if you were here last week or remember what else happened in chapter 1, was that all of Jonah's distress? Or was there something else? There was something else. Because in Jonah chapter 1, we were told that Jonah was running away from the Lord. The Lord had told Jonah to go northeast, and he was on a ship deliberately heading west instead, running away. Now, we should understand that was part of his distress. He knew that he was consciously and deliberately going the opposite direction from what God had told him. But in all of that distress, he prayed, and we've got his prayer recorded for us. And it may well be that we can learn from that. For example, we can learn that he prayed. That's a good thing, isn't it? If you are ever in distress, pray. It's pretty obvious. Yes. Doesn't matter where, when, in whatever circumstance, your situation could hardly be more unusual than Jonah's. Pray. That's one lesson to learn. A second lesson is that Jonah prayed with confidence, expecting that God would hear and listen. Verse 2, he says, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, the place of the dead. He was caught up in the belly of the dead, but escaping from it. I cried and you heard my voice. You heard my voice. He was confident that God was listening. God indeed is more ready to listen to our prayers than we are to pray. That's always the case. And we should be confident that God will listen. He's very interested when we pray. A third thing we can learn from Jonah's prayer is that he got to the point of acknowledging that he was in trouble. Verse 5, the waters closed in over me to take my life. Even back in verse 3, acknowledging that God indeed had thrown Jonah, into this situation. God was the one who'd done it. And fourthly, we can learn that Jonah at least understood that salvation belongs to the Lord. The end of verse 9, the way he finishes this prayer, salvation belongs to the Lord. That's a good thing to remember. God is the one who saves. We don't have to save ourselves. Indeed, we can't. But God is the one who saves. So we've learned four good things that we can learn from this prayer. Pray. Expect God to listen. Acknowledge that we're in trouble. Be confident that God is the one who saves. But, if you're looking at the outline on the bulletin, there's a but. There are some signs here in the book of Jonah that this prayer may not be the perfect prayer. There are some signs that maybe we shouldn't learn everything from this prayer. I say this first of all from looking at the whole of the book of Jonah. If you read through the whole four chapters, and we'll be looking in more detail at chapter 3 next week and then the fourth week at chapter 4, if you read through the whole thing, you find that the last chapter is taken up with a significant tussle going on between God and Jonah. And Jonah is not seeing things God's way. And God is still trying to educate Jonah. Jonah has not yet got to the point where he sees things God's way. So, since that's the case in chapter 4, we can be fairly sure that this prayer that Jonah prayed in chapter 2 was not all that it should have been. For if the chapter 2 prayer was the perfect prayer that Jonah should have prayed in that situation, then we could understand that by chapter 4 he would be on the same page with God. But he was clearly not. So we should be suspicious that this prayer may not be completely the right prayer that he should have prayed. There may be some good things about it, as we've seen, but perhaps not the perfect prayer. Not necessarily that we should learn from all of it, at least not necessarily learn in the positive way from all of it. Indeed, if we look at the prayer itself and think carefully about what we're seeing here, then we may see some defects in this prayer. See, we're told that Jonah prayed this, but we're not told this is the perfect prayer. Just because a prayer is in the Bible and the Bible is God's word, doesn't mean that in the context it was necessarily the perfect prayer. It's one of the things we should do when we're studying the Bible is look at it carefully in context. We don't just pick up a verse in the Bible and think, oh, that is what God is saying to me. It might be, but it might not. It might be God saying, don't do this. Well, let's look carefully. What was the situation in chapter 1? Jonah was obedient or disobedient? Disobedient. And now he's got in a bit of a crisis, and he's at least praying. That's good. We've seen that. If you're disobedient and you know it, and then you start praying, what would you want to say to God? Although in verses 3 and 4, Jonah acknowledges that it's God's action that put him where he is, there's no sign of repentance in this prayer. There's no sign of confessing that he's done wrong. There's no sign of, yes, God, I can see now it was pretty silly of me to go the wrong way. There's no sign of that. There's no mention of Nineveh. There's no care for the people of Nineveh. There's no mention even of the pagan sailors that he was with recently. Instead of that, it seems that he was still proud. We saw in the first chapter that he was proud of himself as a Hebrew, one of the people of God. Even though he's running away from God, he's still proud to be a Hebrew. Here in this prayer, it seems that he's still proud that he can look to the temple. He's still one of God's chosen people, the Hebrews. In verse 8, it still seems like he's happy that the pagan heathens who pay regard to vain idols lose out on salvation from God. Seems like he's still proud and happy about that. It seems in verse 9 that he's proud about the fact that he is going to pay what he's vowed when he gets to the temple. He'll do his part of the deal when he gets back to Jerusalem. All in all, this prayer is Jonah's agenda. Yes, he wants God to save him from the sea, from the ocean, from the seaweed and all the rest of it. But he's not indicating that he wants to get back on board with God's agenda. He doesn't have the repentance. He doesn't have the plea for forgiveness. He doesn't have the desire to go God's way and see things God's way. You see, we could contrast this prayer with a prayer in the Bible that we know is the perfect prayer that we should learn from. What would be a perfect prayer in the Bible that we know we can learn from? The Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. We can have that up on the screen, or you can look at it in the church Bibles on page 811. It's not very many pages further on. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, that prayer addresses God and seeks God's glory and God's agenda. The first four lines are all about wanting things to go God's way, whatever that might mean. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hallowed be your name. It's a desire to learn what God's doing and to get on board with that. And then it expresses dependence upon God. Give us our daily bread. We depend upon God for every breath that we take and everything that we eat. And it's good to express that dependence. And then it addresses our relationship with God and acknowledges that we have done wrong. We've sinned. We've got debts with God because we haven't lived the way God wants us to. That would have been a great line for Jonah to put in his prayer, wouldn't it? Forgive us our debts. Forgive me, Lord. I've been foolish, running away. Looking to forgiveness. And then finally, in the Lord's Prayer, it's seeking God's protection and clearly expressing a desire to have nothing to do with evil, which is also a great thing to pray. So we can contrast the Lord's Prayer with this prayer of Jonah's and see some important differences. What about your prayers? Have you been in a moment of distress? Well, I'm sure you have. I'm sure every one of you have had times of distress. It's part of being human, isn't it? Part of human life that we have times of distress. Have you found yourself praying? I hope you have. And I hope in future that when you have times of distress, you will pray. there've been not only the car accident, but for me in my life, there've been other times of distress. Sometimes there are times when I've got a lot more time to think about it than I had in those 10 seconds. You know, sometimes distress comes slowly, doesn't it? And we've got a lot of time to think about what our prayers would look like. And a lot of time to try and get on board with what a good prayer would look like in the situation that we're in. Where should our prayers come from? Well, Jonah said that he called out to the Lord out of his distress. And I think when we look at that prayer, we can see that it came out of his distress. Ideally, our prayers would come out of some understanding of God's way of doing things, of God's agenda, ideally. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. When Jesus prayed in Gethsemane, he had plenty of time to think about it. That was one of those a lot of time situations. He certainly expressed to God his desire not to face the suffering that he knew was coming. But he also said, yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was opening himself up to the bigger picture of his Father's will. And it's good for us to do that in our distress as well, open ourselves up to the bigger picture. No sign of Jonah doing that here. He's not saying, okay, God, let me rethink this whole Nineveh thing. Help me to see this Nineveh thing the way you see it, God. In our distress, we should pray like that if we possibly can. Dear God, help me to see this situation from your perspective. Could it be, Lord, that this terminal illness, that this illness that I'm finding out about will mean that I won't be living much longer? Is that what you've got in mind, Lord? Could it mean that this relationship that I'm in is not a good one, Lord? Or could it be that, Lord, in this situation I should have courage? Could it be, Lord, that I've got to do what I know is right, even though it's so scary? Praying about what God's agenda might mean, rather than just simply praying out of our own distress. There are lots of ways that we can improve our prayers. Try to shift our prayers from simply our distress to what God wants. Sometimes people ask me, should our prayers be disciplined and regular or spontaneous? Ross? Yeah. Both, of course. And indeed, I think we're probably more likely to pray spontaneously and pray well spontaneously if we are praying also in a disciplined and regular way. If we're developing good habits of prayer, then when we are in surprising situations, hopefully the prayers that will come out then will be good ones too. Of course, both of them should come from the heart. But sometimes the disciplines can provide a good foundation for that. Maybe a few years ago when Mark was here, the idea was raised of using journals for praying and Bible reading. Were these things ever handed out or something, or no? One old man who's been here for a long time says yes. Anyway, some more free gifts. We've got lots of free gifts today. There's half a dozen of these life journals. And it sort of explains it, actually. You pick one up and read it through the first few pages. It's got some explanations about how to do that. And then it gives you a new page for each day with the date and the title and the page number. So you can work away on that. There have been a number of times in my life when I have filled exercise book after exercise book using just one page a day, writing down a Bible reading and then some prayers. not necessarily word for word, maybe some points, maybe some ideas that I'm thinking about. And so each day I can look back and remember where I was yesterday with God and then take that a step further today. I think it's a great thing to do, and in fact, I have in mind to get back to it myself. I've been trying to do that on my computer for a while, because mostly I think better with a computer than pen and paper. But I think somehow the physicality of doing it with a pen and a piece of paper can be a good thing. So free gifts for the first half a dozen people. After that, you can just use an ordinary exercise book. It's almost as good. But it'd be nice to use these. A good way to strengthen your prayers, actually. Help you move from a Jonah distress prayer to a Lord's Prayer sort of prayer. And, of course, praying in groups as well as praying alone. That's a good thing to do. Many of you are already in community groups, the names of the small groups that we have here at Christchurch. If you're not yet in one, warmly encourage you to join up. It is one context where we can develop our prayers as well and help one another to be learning how to pray. So some good stuff. We've seen some good stuff to learn from Jonah's prayer, haven't we? Pray. Know that God's listening. Tell God what the trouble is and confidently expect that God is the one who saves. They're all good things to learn. But beyond this prayer, face up to the real issues between ourselves and God and seek to get on top of God's agenda, not simply our own distress. I thought a good way to finish might be to pray the Lord's Prayer together, finish our sermon on prayer. So this is another version of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray this together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.